Welcome to a very special thingamajiggy. I have no idea what this is, but I figured since this was a big week for entertainment, especially for us nerds, as we got three brand new trailers in the span of like 4 days. We kicked off the week, not even the week, I guess you kicked off Thursday with the reveal of the latest Star Wars teaser trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens. And I think this was the most well-received trailer. I'm not even going to say of the week. I think this is probably one of the most well-received trailers I've ever seen in any medium.
Yeah, I mean, it was, the response to it was just huge and overwhelmingly positive, which was a little bit of, in contrast to some of the other trailers we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I mean, I think part of it was because it's just a lot of people saying, like, I'm so happy that they're finally doing this right after being mistreated for a decade plus. I guess, 16 years now? If that's in the original prequel film. And
yeah, I mean, it's cool to see, you know, clearly, by all indications, like, Abrams and company are going about it the right way, right? They're looking, I mean, we've seen, obviously, just very little about it, but it looks like Star Wars, it feels like Star Wars, it sounds like Star Wars, like, there's nods to the old trilogy, like, I mean, it's hard not to get excited when that score ramps up and the Millennium Falcon flies out of, you know, the sand, or you see a giant Star Destroyer crash and it ruins in the background.
Yeah, I was going to say, it really does not show much, which can go either way. Partially because this is the second trailer that they released, or second teaser, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's still still 8 months or so until this comes out, so they have plenty of time to market it. Because it's really difficult. I've said before, I'm not a huge sci-fi fan. I've seen the Star Wars films. I like them. I don't love them. So, I mean, personally, a lot of this stuff felt flat for me. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. This looks okay. I got it. So,
yeah, I mean, like you said, it's still so far out from release, and they haven't really shown much with two trailers, but I think that's part of the genius of it. And I think it's kind of, they're doing a great job teasing, because the first trailer showed almost nothing. Get a few brief glimpses, you see the new lightsaber, whatever. The second trailer, still without really revealing anything, shows you a lot more, right? Like, you see that the world we're living in is going to be in the ruins of the world we watched, you know, whenever we watched the original trilogy for the first time, but that the impact is there. You know, the characters that we love, they're there. We finally get to see them a little bit. We get to see a little bit more of the action and what everything looks like. We see the villain. We see a little bit more of what the Empire's become. And, like, so, and yet, we got all of that out of, as we keep saying, like, a trailer that didn't really show much else. And, you know, I think it touched all the emotional and visual notes it touched. And finishing with that line with Han and Chewie was a great, like, bookend, I thought, to be like, hey, guys, like, Star Wars is back. And not, you know, the Star Wars that so many people, you know, love to hate on, but with the prequels, but, like, the OG Star Wars, right? The quote-unquote real Star Wars. And it's cool to see that and see it be so true to that original trilogy visually while still feeling modern.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of the legacy trailer in that it's like, okay, we're going to show, you know, like, the voiceover is done by Luke and he's talking to his kid and, you know, he's talking about the Force and how he has it, his dad had. And you get that shot, I don't necessarily know why he kept his dad's mangled helmet, whatever, you know, sentiments, his family, I guess.
Well, again, it's like, it's that, you know, just tie in to the original trilogy, like, that it's very much from the images from this trailer and stuff, and the voiceover and everything, it's, this is going to be a world where we're living after what happened there, versus the prequels, which, you know, kind of were disconnected in a way because it was a completely different world with the Galactic Republic and everything. But you'd, even in the prequels, you'd see the reverse, where you see, like, early versions of a Star Destroyer or an early version of a Stormtrooper, and you see how it evolves. This is what we see in the aftermath, which is kind of cool.
Okay. Just as kind of a bit of breaking news, because this has already happened as we're going on. I mean, this trailer was revealed on the first day of the Star Wars Appreciation Celebration in California, and they have kind of, you know, spread out information all over the week. Today's the final day of that as of recording, which is Sunday. And they just kind of revealed that Star Wars Anthologies Rogue One will...
Breaking news.
It's going to deal with the Rebel spies who steal the plans of the Death Star, which is, of course, a big part of the first Star Wars film. So that should be interesting. I'm imagining it's going to be more of like a heist film, like Ocean's 11 meets Star Wars, than, you know, like a grand space opera. And this is the one that's directed by Garrett Edwards, who most people will probably know from that very divisive Godzilla film last year, which I enjoyed, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I thought Godzilla was plenty flawed, but I thought it was, you know, it wasn't bad. There were things to like about it, at least. And it was, I would say, you know, some of the problems might have been more in, like, the greater strategy of the script and, you know, like, holding the monster off and all that stuff and focusing on the people, whatever. But as far as how it was shot and stuff like that, like, it was, you know, a well-made movie from a technical standpoint.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at some of this screenshot. It really reminds me of a video game because you had, like,
it's
this
just a
show.
Logo.
Well, no, they're showing the concept art of it, and it's like a bunch of like soldiers on the ground. Like it's like one of those early missions you do in a video game as people kind of breach an area. So, yes, I'm sorry. It's like literally just kind of happening as we're talking, so it's slightly distracting. But, yeah, I think a lot of people kind of lost it at the end of Chewie, We're Home, which is going to be really curious. If it's in the movie and what it refers to when they're talking about the film.
Well, it looks like they're standing in the Millennium Falcon. So I think they're saying, he's saying Chewie, we're home, as in we're back in the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, maybe. I thought they were leaving the ship. That's why I was kind of, I've not watched the trailer like more than twice or three times, I think. So I'm sure there's some breakdown on the internet where people know every exact angle and what they could be referring to and stuff like that. So go ahead and check that out. That is, you know, that's there. The other big thing for this week is, we'll get to the trailer in a second. It's just a fascinating story of how it happened. And this is something that I've noted before. I don't necessarily know if I've said it on any of the shows we do. But I find like a lot of these viral marketing schemes don't necessarily work because something always happens in the interim. Like, I think this happened the week before in gaming with... Damn, I forgot what Game Informer was going to break. Oh, the new Deus Ex. And they had like this huge countdown. They were streaming a bunch of stuff. And then somebody just leapfrogged it like a day before. And everybody just had to break embargo because it was already out there. And that's pretty much what happened with the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice trailer. The whole week was kind of...
It happens. Like, it's been happening a lot now, too.
It happens like all the time. Because... It's either, like, you have to put it up there so that when people do it, you don't wait around, or, like, you know, like, it's out there, and then somehow or another somebody gets a hold of it. Like, the whole Batman v Superman stuff has kind of been playing from behind the eight ball since the start of the week, because it came out at the start of the week that their plan was to have Zack Snyder tweet out, like, a 5-second preview, which ended up being, like, a, you know, 20-second preview of the teaser trailer, and then he was going to send a link for you to sign up for IMAX so that you can go check out the trailer this upcoming Monday in IMAX theaters, which all sounded good and well, except this came out Monday, yeah. So they had to push that ahead, and Zach tweeted out the stuff on Wednesday night, I had, you know, like a day ahead of when they it was originally scheduled to do that. Okay, fine, you know, whatever. So Thursday comes around. I mean, I've signed up for it because I've done all these things for the Batman films. They did the similar stuff for The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Returns, The Dark Knight Rises, I should say. So that comes around, and then sometime during Thursday, somebody leaks like the final 30 seconds of the teaser, which is, like, you know, it kind of the money shot of the teaser. But it's also taken out of context, and a lot of people don't enjoy that because of how it makes Batman sound. So, again, that was that. You still had like a minute and a half of the teaser to go. Then Thursday night, the entire teaser leaked out. And everybody was watching it on this really shoddy camera. And first impressions for this were awful. Well, okay, I'm not going to say awful. They were mixed, to be generous.
I think they've been mixed. I mean, like me personally, I think I feel mixed about it, too. Like, there's a few things I like with it. There's things I don't like with it. It's certainly at least not the same uniform, you know, reaction that the Star Wars trailer had the day before.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, there are several different things about that, and we'll get to that in a second. But I was talking more about the leak because a lot of people, you know, you're watching it on an off-camera thing, and it's very dark, and this is a very dark film as it is. And I mean dark as in night and not dark as in mood. I really hate that as a descriptor. But, yeah, and then they finally are like, okay, you know what, we're kind of, our hands are tied. So they finally released the HD version on Friday. And I think opinions of it have softened. You know, there are people who are just not going to be into it because they don't like Man of Steel, which is fair. And there are going to be people who are into it because they did take Man of Steel, again, which is fair. The people in the middle seem to be in the middle. People... I mean, the big takeaway from this, from what I can gather, is a lot of people think Batman looks cool. That is...
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he came right out of the pages of The Dark Knight Returns.
Which is one of my least favorite Batman.
He's, you know, big and bulky. I mean...
yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, that look from that book isn't one of my favorite, like, I don't really like the look particularly, but seeing that glimpse you get of him on screen, I do think he looks cool in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. And I'm probably going to say something that would probably surprise a lot of people. This trailer didn't really hype me up, and I've come to accept that wasn't the intention of it. I mean, it could just be my reaction to it. But I like Man of Steel. I love Batman. But this trailer for me was more or less, I mean, you know, we noted with Star Wars. Star Wars is, you know, 8 months out. Batman v Superman is 11 months out. They have a much longer schedule. This is the first glimpse we're getting at it. To me, this was more or less a teaser of saying, like, look, we're going to address all of your problems, or going to address the problems people have at the end of Man of Steel. Maybe not all of them, but we're going to address it. Because the start of the teaser is mostly people reacting to Superman. And I find it weird how people are reacting to Superman, because I've seen a lot of people say it seems like DC really hates Superman with this. But I feel like this is kind of our current climate, I should say, in that everything is two extremes. You either love something or you hate something. There's very few people who kind of are in the middle. And that's kind of what they're exhibiting. You have people like, oh, you know, maybe he's, you know, he's just doing good, you know, like, and then you have, you know, one of the people did a sex youth, he's like, he's literally calling him the devil. So I thought it's fascinating. I'm curious to see how that's worked into the film, because I can't imagine, it could be the start of the film, but I'm curious to see if that's actually going to be in it, or if it's just dialogue created for the teaser. But yeah, and the other thing was that they wanted to showcase that Batman versus Superman is not a marketing tool. It's a fight that's going to happen in the actual film. And I think that's very important, because I do think people are like, oh, they're not going to fight, you know, or whatever. It's just like, okay, yes, they are going to fight. Now, I think what people took that to mean, though, to the other extreme, is that this entire movie is going to be built around the fact that Batman and Superman fight. Which logistically makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it's pretty ridiculous to assume anything at this point. I mean, the movie's called Batman vs. Superman, so clearly the conflict between them is going to be a main focus of the movie. I think one thing I will say, though, is I was disappointed. Granted, like you said, 11 months out, very much more of a teaser, but to not get any glimpse of what that going to look like on screen, because I think it's, this is just my personal feeling on it, but like with two people as different in skill set as Batman and Superman are, it's, I think, going to be a difficult task to make sure that gets translated onto a movie screen in an appropriate way and in an interesting way. So that's something I want to see, because that's one of the question marks that I have about making this movie. It's like, what's that going to look like? Is it going to be done well? And granted, and you mentioned this to me earlier this week, like Zack Snyder does have a history of making very interesting fight scenes. And that's rarely something he ever gets wrong. I mean, his movies have all, you know, there's plenty to criticize, but fight scenes are not typically among the criticism.
Yeah, I also
I'm optimistic, but until I see it, like, I don't know, right?
But I don't think we're going to see it. I mean, I hope we don't see it, because honestly speaking, them fighting is the money shot of the film, even though I don't think it's going to be, like, I kind of predicted, and part of it is because I do follow this movie production, so I kind of know more than I have to, but I imagine that their fight is going to be like the end of Act 2, so around the hour and a half mark is when this whole stuff goes down. And then they'll go on and kind of team up and take on the big bad of the actual film. But it does offer them a unique marketing opportunity, because if the focus is on this, they can leave a lot of people in the dark about what's actually going to happen in the movie. And as I've learned before, and I earned it, but I'm not going to do it with this film. I don't do it with any comic book film. Sometimes going into a movie not knowing what to expect can really be a very pleasant surprise. I've done that with Kingsman. I did that with what was Christopher Nolan's film called? Jupiter Ascending. Interstellar. So, yes, it's sometimes nice. That said, I understand people's reactions to the trailer. I understand that for a lot of people who dislike Man of Steel, or who just kind of dislike this general direction that DC movie seems to be going in, it does kind of seem to be a rather bleak. We've had this discussion before. Like, what I consider dark and gritty and bleak is really different from a lot of other people. Like, I didn't consider that bleak. I considered it as, it's kind of cynical, I guess is the better term. And
yeah,
how
cynical is a good word for it. And I think also it's important to keep in mind that when people say that, it's relative to other movies in the genre, like namely of course the Marvel movies and things like that, obviously compared to something like Spartacus or Game of Thrones, or you know, there's clearly far darker to go on the scale of how bleak something might be.
Yeah, I mean I didn't find it bleak, because like we don't really see anything, like the bulk of this is the voiceovers, and yes, there are people who are for Superman, there are people who are against Superman, but you turn on any news channel, and this is the kind of type of conversations you have.
That's one thing I really do like about this trailer, is that Superman is a divisive figure in this world, which I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't follow Superman as closely as other heroes, but I don't think that's a perspective that's really been explored, at the very least at the movie level.
It's never been accepted.
Generally, Superman is universally celebrated by.
But I mean, there are times when he's first introduced, and people do question him, and that's kind of part of his relationship with Lois Lane. She's kind of his Earth proxy. She's the one who introduces the world to him. But yeah, it is. It's an interesting angle to take. I mean, and it's something that a lot of comic book films don't take. I noted it before when we were doing the Marvel Cinecast on our website, nerdsontherocks.com, that it would have, like Iron Man 2 had that interesting opportunity to see how does the world react to a public superhero. And you don't get those reactions. That's not a part of the film. And a lot of times that is like having people react to superheroes isn't something that happens in a lot of these films because it's not necessarily a story you want to tell. It's something you can do more so on TV, but even something like Arrow and The Flash and Daredevil don't necessarily have people reacting to the superhero emerging in this world.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it's something that, I mean, obviously, Civil War, Captain America Civil War will also be playing with that theme of what is the reaction to superheroes rising in this world, as you said. I think what's really interesting about the Superman example from this trailer is that it's more than just a reaction. It's the two scales of it. Like the one end of the scale where they're not just celebrating him, but they're worshiping him as this almost like deity type figure, right? And then of course you have the other side who denounce him. There's obviously in the trailers, there's that shot of the Superman statue with a false god painted over his chest. And yes. I think the kind of difference between those two very extreme perspectives is what makes Superman different and very interesting. Or that's at least an interesting thread that I'm looking forward to seeing them explore in this movie.
Yeah, and I honestly think that those two threads, I will get the common man's perspective, but I really do think that's going to be what we see between how Lex Luthor reacts to him and how Bruce Wayne, Batman, reacts to him, and more how their evolution of their viewpoint on him changes throughout the course of the film. But yes, I do think as a teaser, it's more or as a thing to get you intrigued and unnecessarily to get you hyped, which I think a lot of people misunderstand. And I think the other part of it is because, one, teaser trailers have really gotten out of hand. To me, a teaser trailer should not be more than 30 seconds. I know a lot of people are upset by that, but I tell people, if the teaser for Batman v Superman was just the thing Zack Snyder tweeted out, where it was just to look at their costumes, music, and the logo, I'm perfectly okay with that, because the idea...
I wouldn't have been.
I know most people wouldn't have been, but the idea of a teaser to me is to just kind of whet your appetite. It's not to reveal anything. It's just to kind of get you, okay, like, this is on my radar now. And it makes you ask questions, like the original Star Wars one, like, why is there a black stormtrooper? If you ask it in that way and not, stormtroopers shouldn't be black. There are two different ways to approach that question. Like, who is he? What is that Jedi? What or that Sith? What is that new lightsaber? Those are questions you ask. Instead of like, okay, yeah, I get it. So this is the good guy, this is the bad guy. Like, you know, how does Superman and Batman fight? How is that engaging? Why do they fight? Like, why is the world reacting to Superman this way? Mm-hmm. Where are they fighting? If that's the type of stuff that you have, you know, it's 7 months out. You want people to ask questions. If you had seen, like, an example of this, minor spoilers, I guess, is like Avengers, the Age of Ultron is out in a few weeks, and a lot of that marketing has ramped up to a point where they've pretty much shown you what happens in the climax. I won't go into specific details, but watch any commercial and you have a general idea of what's going to happen at the end of Age of Ultron, as far as the big fight goes. But that's partially because the film's out in a week if you're overseas, 2 weeks for us. Compare that to something like Spectre, where we just had a teaser. We don't really know what's going on in Spectre. And that's because that was a teaser to kind of just whet our appetites. And I think a huge part of it was coming out the same day as the Star Wars trailer, which was a more, like, okay, we're back. You know, your favorite characters are back. They're aged up, but they're still awesome. And it's kind of like a yeah moment, where Batman v Superman's more like a moment, like, You're trying to think through that.
Yeah, but I think even you mentioned the Spectre trailer. I think you can compare it to that. You can compare it to the first Star Wars teaser, and kind of see where, you know, it's like I think those two, Spectre and Force Awakens, their initial teasers are better examples of like how to do a teaser right. And I mean, part of it. I don't think the Batman vs. Superman one was bad, but it wasn't. It had very few moments where it was energizing, and got you excited. And I know it's not. It's like you said, it's not like a primary marketing vehicle. It's more designed to make you ask questions. But I don't think outside of a couple moments, it did a good enough job of that.
See, I guess again, maybe I reacted to stuff differently, because I was to say that's the same reaction I had with Spectre. Where Spectre was like, hell yeah, it's kind of like, oh, this is really neat. I'm kind of curious about it now. Like, the most energizing moment of Spectre for me was the little jingle of the classic Bond theme they did. Everything else was like, okay, we're just kind of putting the pieces on the table. No pun intended, because he's already put a ring on the table in the teaser. But yeah, and it's kind of like, to a lot of people, I think the money shot, not even the money shot, the money moment in this film, this teaser was, tell me something, do you bleed?
I wanted to ask you about that next. Like, what did you think about that? Because I've seen reaction that's like, oh, that's not Batman. But for me, like, that was awesome.
You see, I am kind of curious, is it Batman? I think we're supposed to assume it is because he's on screen with Superman. But I am curious, is it Batman?
You know, I hadn't even considered that perspective. That's actually an interesting point. Like, did they use, like, a Lex voiceover or something and, like, just play it over that scene? That's interesting. I think either way, I love it. I thought that was a great closing moment to an otherwise mediocre trailer.
Okay, and I would just say this much for people who say it's not Batman. This is a guy who already threatens people by holding them upside down from a building. I don't necessarily think threatening to make somebody bleed is outside the realm of possibilities for this dude.
Yeah, that's what that's another thing. Like, I don't think that's outside of Batman character at all. Like, he's not threatening to kill him. That would be a different thing. But, you know, he's trying to be intimidating, and that's the whole thing with Batman imposing himself on villains. He's trying to intimidate them. So I thought it was well within the character.
And we both played Arkham games. Trust me, there's no way that he's taking it nice on those people from those bone cracking. So yes, him being violent it's not necessarily something I love about some of the characters' portrayals. One of the reasons I don't like the Frank Miller one. But I do think that they'd have to soften him up for this film, just because it is a universe they have to build around this character, this interpretation of Batman.
The other thing is, I'm saying this with full acknowledgement that this is the first teaser of the movie. It's really far out, and this isn't a card they need to play yet by any means. But I really want to see Wonder Woman and any other Justice League characters that make an appearance in this film.
Oh, that was actually another point I had to make. It's, you know, a lot of people kind of, you know. But yes, like I said, this was really just to set up the stage between Batman versus Superman. Because you don't see Wonder Woman, you don't see Lois, you don't see X, you don't see Perry, you don't see Alfred. Like, you hear some of these characters, but you see nobody else in this entire teaser except for Batman and Superman. You get some side characters, but they don't count. So yes, it is very much a teaser in the sense that, like, this is our two title characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there's still the IMAX thing that's going on. And that's supposed to have additional scenes from the film, so maybe people are crossing their fingers that it might show, like, Wonder Woman. Because I am curious her role in this entire film.
Yeah, I want to see, I think we all are, like, what her role is. And beyond that, too, like, I'm still not entirely sold on the Gal Gadot casting. I don't necessarily think it's a bad casting, but I don't think it's an great, obviously good one. Like, I want to see it in context, basically. And same thing with Lex Luthor, I might add.
Yeah.
Which, then, again, I don't expect to see either of them in the first teaser, but that's what I will be looking for.
I think the next time we'll play in an update will probably be in July with San Diego. So we'll have another 3 months to wait around for that. I'm sure we'll start getting more stuff, like set pictures and stuff like that. But as far as, like, actual... Yeah, like, new footage, I wouldn't expect anything before San Diego. I would also say that, if nothing else, Zack Snyder knows visuals. It's a really nice looking trailer. And I know people are happy that you can see more than you can. I didn't mind the Man of Steel coloring. I don't like the piss yellow filter that they use for some of these shots. It's a weird filter. It's kind of that video game filter for, like, a lot of first-person shooters where it's, like, that dusty orange yellow glow to it. Hopefully they soften that up a bit, but we'll see. And our final trailer, which oddly enough was the reason we actually decided to do this, because it came on right before we were going to record Dual Wielding, is that we just got a Fantastic Four trailer, the second one, and I'm going to open it up to you first. What did you think?
I thought it was... it was a good trailer. It showed, I finally feel like I have an idea of what that movie's about, which I never got before. You see each of the four characters in context. We finally know what kind of the main overarching plot's gonna be. We kind of know, or we know who the villain's gonna be, which we can discuss that in more detail in a little bit. But, you know, I finally have a sense that, like, okay, I see where they're taking Fantastic Four. And it's interesting, and I want to see it. I think similar to Batman vs. Superman, it has kind of a bleak tone. I think even, arguably even more so, because whereas Batman vs. Superman's more in the aftermath of a catastrophic event, this is very much building up to a potentially catastrophic event, and one that's very, the stakes are very large, with the whole line about, like, cracking interdimensional travel. Like, clearly there's, like, some big things going on in this movie. So, I mean, I'm intrigued. I want to see it. I still have a lot of questions, a lot of doubts, but it was definitely the best look we've had so far.
Yeah, which probably, I mean, I guess that can go either way, because this film is, what, 3 months out?
Yeah, so July.
We should probably, it should probably be ahead of, like, this is, I mean, it's, like I said, it's great that you can keep stuff on the wrap, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, at some point, especially for a film that so many people seem to be against, it needs to kind of come out firing, and I agree with you. I think it's a good teaser, a good trailer, I should say. But it doesn't look like a very special movie.
Right. And I think this thought just popped in my head right now. I would compare it very much to the Ant-Man trailer we saw last week. Like, both of them were kind of our first real, we knew about them, we'd seen costumes, we'd seen initial trailers, but for both of them it was finally like, aha, that's what it's going to be about. Now I kind of have a sense of what the movie's going to be like. I'm not necessarily convinced it's going to be good, but I'm interested in, I'm going to probably see them both. Like, that was my reaction, at least, to both of them. I thought it was very similar.
Yeah, it was kind of my reaction to Ant-Man 2, which I forgot came out last week, about a week before. Or was it this week?
No,
it was Monday.
I think it was the week before. I don't know, actually.
I thought it might have been Monday. It's been a very big week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and that's actually a pretty good comparison, because it went from, like, I don't really know about this movie, to, like, yeah, it looks inoffensive. Like, it doesn't look like there's anything awful about it. It doesn't look like there's anything grand or special about it either. But it's like, yeah, you know, if I might not see it in theaters, but I'll check it out. It's going to be weird seeing, not necessarily weird, I guess, but they're so much younger and, like, Dr. Richard does not look like an adult. I mean, he doesn't look like a teen, but he doesn't look like a really famous scientist either.
That is, for me, one of the biggest, if not the biggest thing I have against this movie. It's like, I don't buy Miles Teller being Reed Richards. I don't. And granted, yeah, I haven't seen Whiplash, so I haven't seen his any range to his acting, really. I've seen him as a stupid, dopey teenager guy, but
which he kind of plays here.
It's like a little bit like he's smarter, I guess, but, like, that's, to me, that's not really Reed. But
I'm not gonna judge anybody. You know, I've been wrong on casting before. Just, like, watching it, it's like he doesn't have that presence you would expect from, like, a super genius,
exactly,
or somebody who more often than not is kind of played as a distant human being.
Yeah, and I'm okay with a different take on the character, but it's still just, like, I don't know. And I think versus, like, I thought Sue and Johnny were both good. They both.
It's kind of funny, because I saw Johnny, and the first thing I thought is, like, they need to get that Fast and the Furious crowd, huh?
What does that mean?
Because he's in the, like, you see him, he's, like, driving a car and stuff, like, Dad.
Oh.
And, like, yeah, not. Yeah, and it's, I'm like, okay. And Dr. Doom's there, and I'm not even sure what's going on with him.
We got to talk about Doom for a second. I mean, his mask looks so stupid. But it's weird, too, because, like, okay, they finally confirmed Doom as the villain, which is not entirely surprising. Obviously, you know, he's by far the biggest villain in the Fantastic Four series. So it's not necessarily a surprise, but it is the first time, at least I think, that we've heard that it's going to be Doom. It's the first time we've seen him, for sure. But we have no idea how he's going to fit in the story, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's because he's not even like part of the accident with them.
Right.
So I don't know if...
is he an interdimensional being?
Yeah, and it's one of those weird things that, like, you know, it's like if a teaser, it's like, what's coming? Doom. Like, it's so on the nose. It's like, ugh.
I mean, I like the way they did it. I just don't like the way he looks. And I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Is there anything else that we want to talk about with these teasers, trailers, comic book news?
Do we
want to
touch on Battlefront?
Well, I was going to say we can save Battlefront for when we have our duel, which is still supposed to come this week.
All right.
Okay. So, thank you, Jason, for this very special Nerds on the Rocks breaking news edition of our Star Wars The Force Unleashed Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and Fantastic Four trailer talk.